And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow. Today's discussion with Ronald after the workout will be focusing on disease of the lifestyles and focus mainly on diabetes. We'll also be asking some of the questions that you have sent in that we were unable to answer or ask yesterday. A reminder once again that you can interact with us. The number and the SMS and Twitter and everything are available on these mediums.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 48855. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet EJAZ at EJAZ underscore K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Yes, indeed, it's that time of the afternoon. We're joined by Ronald Evergy. He's a fitness and wellness expert. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, brother EJAZ?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. And your side?
I am wonderful, thank you. And I'm actually sitting with a fellow Liverpool supporter like yourself.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
Like you, they are diehard supporters. And as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't make a difference to me. But yes, the energy is here.
Yes, we never walk alone, and it's time to run a bit now. So, Ronald, let's go for that cardio workout.
All right, very simple. The cardio workout today is totally focused on bringing in some basic stuff you can do at home. There will be some slight jumping exercises,
okay.
But if you can do them, great. If not, then you just don't jump. You just rather shuffle your feet around so you don't cause too much impact on your knees. So let's get going with this workout. Remember, each exercise I give you now, you must do for at least 45 seconds to 60 seconds to ensure that you get the cardio benefit. Now remember, with cardio, you will be huffing and puffing, you will be out of breath, but the only way to push through is to keep at it so that you can get fitter and fitter. So the first exercise is very simple. We've all done this at school, no matter when you went to school, and they're known as star jumps. And the reason I enjoy star jumps is because it mobilizes the joints and it works the upper body and the lower body. So feet together, hands on your side. All that I want you then to do is do a star jump. So jump up slightly, open your feet wider than shoulder width, and clap your hands up on top at the same time. And let's go for it. Star jumps. 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep it going. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. And if you get stronger and fitter, you can go faster and faster. Keep it going. Keep it going. Remember, finish your 45 seconds. All right, good. Now, from there, brother judge, the next exercise is keep your hands on your side and the same motion with your legs where you open and close them with a slight jump. That's what we're now doing, okay?
Right.
Are you ready? Let's go. Open and close. Now, this you go for speed, as fast as you can. Open those legs, close those legs, hands on your side. Keep it going, 45 seconds. Get the heart rate up, work the legs, work the hips, work the lungs. All right, great. The next exercise, we're going to shuffle the feet backwards and forwards. So left foot forward, right foot back, hands on your side, and you're going to shuffle the feet backwards and forwards. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. These are called the foot shuffles, and you're going for speed with your foot shuffles. You don't have to jump. You can even slide the feet on the floor, depending on if you're on carpet or not, and you keep at it. 45 seconds. Don't stop. Keep it going as fast as you can. Good. Now, the next cardio exercise. And as you can see, with this cardio routine, I'm pushing you from one exercise to the next.
Good.
And the reason is because we don't want to give you a long rest period.
Yes.
So the next exercise, we're going to be doing mini sprints on the spot, which is my favorite because it's very high intensity.
Right.
Are you ready?
Of course.
So knees don't come up too high. Get the arms pumping and go on the spot. Short sprint. On the spot, you're lifting those knees up as fast as you can. Now lift the knees up even higher to increase the intensity. So high knees, pump the arms, keep it going. 10 more seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and relax.
Sure.
And that's how easy this week's of today's cardio workout is.
Now, while I'm catching my breath, Ronald, let's go into this discussion. What are diseases of lifestyle? Tell us.
All right, diseases of lifestyle affect South Africans and the world immensely, and so much so that the World Health Organization has identified certain diseases of lifestyle as international health concerns and imperatives to focus on.
Right.
So you're looking at a lifestyle that is unhealthy, where you are not active, where you are eating poorly, high-fat foods, high-sugary foods, and you're putting yourself at risk of a disease such as diabetes, high cholesterol, or hypertension, and those diseases are basically caused because of the poor lifestyle you are leading. That is why we call them diseases of lifestyle.
Now, what foods should people who suffer from diabetes, what should they eat?
You know, I love focusing on diabetes as one of them, and over the weeks or the days, we'll focus on the others.
Okay.
From a diabetes perspective, diabetes is associated with an increase in your blood sugar or your blood glucose, and that's because you're eating high or carbohydrate-laden foods. So the foods you should be eating are a lot less of the sugary or refined carbohydrates, meaning aim for the whole wheat, aim for the rye breads, aim for the healthier veggies. So you're looking at things like your veggies or fruits and those types of things. You're also aiming for higher protein in your diet and also the essential fats. By doing this, you control your blood glucose because you're not going through peaks and troughs of having a sugary fizzy drink or a chocolate where it spikes up your blood glucose and suddenly drops. And because you're inactive, that spike in your blood glucose will lead to consistent blood glucose affecting your pancreas, which will affect your insulin, which will increase your risk of diabetes.
Is there any specific exercises people, diabetics, should be, you know, following any specific exercises?
Most definitely. If you are a diabetic, you definitely should be active. You know, you should watch your blood sugar and also be active. So incorporate a lot of cardiovascular exercise with very stringent and controlled strength exercise, which means you can't go into a gym and decide to pump iron like you're a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you need to bring in strength training gradually. So do functional body resistance training, as we've been doing in our workouts, but also do the cardio training because you want to increase your heart rate and your fitness to increase blood flow so blood doesn't pool in your legs, because very often with diabetes, you find that it's associated with edema or swelling in the ankles and the feet, which leads to poor blood flow, which leads to amputation of the feet and the legs. So that, by doing cardio, you begin to mitigate and prevent that from happening.
Reminder, we're listening to Mind, Body and Chow, and we've got fitness and wellness expert Ronald Avergy online with us. If you've got any questions you want to ask him, you know that you can SMS 48855, you can WhatsApp 0727861548, you can call in as well on 0118541548. Now, Ronald, is diabetes, is it reversible? Can you, you know, reverse the effects?
You know, once you have diabetes, you have diabetes. You can mitigate the effect it has on your body. But the sad thing for me, Brother Judge, is very often when people are diabetic, then they only realize then they should be eating healthy and exercising consistently. So you can decrease the symptoms if you're a type 2 diabetic. If you're a type 1 diabetic, you will constantly be injecting yourself with insulin because that's very often happens at the age to identify that.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot reverse it and heal yourself from it. You can only manage it, and by exercising correctly and eating healthily, you definitely decrease your risk of any further conditions, and you can live a fairly healthy and good lifestyle.
All right, and I see some questions from yesterday that we were unable to answer, Ronald. Sister saying, Assalamu alaikum. Yesterday we were discussing pregnancy and exercise. She says, Assalamu alaikum. Can I do stationary cycling while pregnant?
You know, as we discussed yesterday, yes, you can, because there's no impact on your joints. You're not doing weight-bearing exercise. The seat of the cycle really holds your weight down, but you can also then mobilize your leg. So that's just, I'd say, yes, you can, but remember, if you haven't exercised before you were pregnant, be very careful in how you exercise. Don't think you're going to join a spinning class or high-intensity cycle. Build up your fitness gradually, engage your gynecologist, and inform them of what you're doing, and enjoy the exercise. You know, aim to get fit and to just increase your blood flow, but don't forget to do your flexibility exercises as well.
Okay, and this one's saying, I am 60 years old. How do I stay trim?
Oh, that's a brilliant question, because, you know, I love this, because there's no limit to exercising at any age. And if you are 60 years old, I would say to that person, do some walking, do some light cardio exercise, housework or garden work, just to get the joints mobilized. And then you need to do strength training, Brother Ejaz. They've got to do it, whether they get in the exercise bands or the elastic exercise TheraBands, and they begin to do squats, push-ups, you know, even on a chair, the basic ones, bicep curls, tricep extensions, there's so many. Because that way you maintain your muscle integrity, and that means you mitigate your risk of arthritis, but you also maintain body functioning, so you don't end up hunching or walking or getting the muscle to waste away and causing a lot of fat and skin to deposit there. So those are the things that you are aiming for, and at that age, please, please, please bring in some strength training.
Now, Ronald, we were discussing diabetes earlier on, mostly. And now, just say a person's just been diagnosed with diabetes type 2, you know, the one that can be reversed. What should they do from the onset, having just found out?
You know, from the onset, definitely get a glucometer to begin to measure your blood glucose every day. Because you have to be very conscious thereof. Know the signs and the symptoms of your body. That if your blood glucose is low, how do you feel? Do you feel lightheaded? Do you feel weak? Haven't you eaten for a while? You know, always keep something sweet next to you, so that if you do feel that, you can pop it in. And then finally, you know, get the advice of a proper eating strategy for you as a diabetic. There's no one-size-fits-all plan, so get the right strategy for you from a food perspective and then also an exercise perspective. And then every day, monitor and measure your glucose so that you know whether you're doing something right or wrong and then how to adjust that accordingly.
Perfect. And one more year, Ronald. Do we take sugar completely out of our diets? Just found out about diabetes.
You know, when people just find out about diabetes, they go to the extreme of cutting out all sugars, carbs, and everything else out of their diet. And all you need to do is remember that there's different types of sugar. There's the refined sugar that we put into our teas and coffees and, you know, certain desserts. You then get sugars in your vegetables and your fruits.
Hmm.
It's also a carbohydrate. So my advice to that person would be is cut out the refined sugar. Cut it out, because it serves no purpose or value except increasing your blood glucose. Cut out the sweets, the chocolates, cut out the fruity drinks. It doesn't add any nutritional value to you. What you need to then do is begin to put together a strategy where you consistently have smaller meals throughout the day, where you have the right portion of the carbohydrates at the different points of your snacks and your main meal, and then the right proteins. And that way, you begin to give yourself consistent blood glucose. You keep it consistent, and you have energy throughout the day, beginning to manage it. And then buffering that, bring in some light exercise, play with the kids, play a sport. You know, go for a cycle, do a jog, and begin to manage it from that perspective as well. So if that listener also wants to pop me an email to really help and guide them a little bit further, I would be more than willing.
Yeah, just give your email out there.
My email is ronald@mypersonaltrainer.co.za.
Perfect. Ronald, jazakallah khair again for today's discussion and exercise. Always so good to do, and always a pleasure having you on. And just tell my friend there that's with you to, you know, Liverpool supporters are kings of sabr, so he should just keep on making sabr, and things will get better eventually.
Sabr is the name of the game, my brother. Thank you to you and the listeners, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Ronald Evergy there with the fitness and wellness segment called Verbal Fitness Sessions on Radio Islam International. We always urge the listeners to make use of this time to ask the questions they always wanted to. That being said, it is now time for the next segment. In a few seconds' time, we'll be joined by Life Coach Sumaya Kubadia. Today we're discussing, this for me is like a tongue twister, impulsivity. Ah, I got it right. Impulsivity. You know, when you buy stuff that you don't actually need, or you know, you don't think about your budget or anything. You just see something that you smack and you get it. You know, so she's going to be discussing how to control this, how to pause it. Is it possible? So she'll be joining us in a few seconds' time as we're listening to this wonderful nasheed.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 48855. WhatsApp 072-786-1548 or tweet ejaz at ejaz_k.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
And when life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close, I'll never stray back, keeping it deep within my soul.
Yes, 13:45. It's time now for Life Coach Sumaya Kubadia to join us, and today we're discussing impulsivity. So we're going to ask her and introduce her right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi jaz. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. And yourself?
I'm doing very well, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, a reminder, the lines are open, 011-854-1548. We are discussing impulsivity with life coach Sumaya Kuvaria. Sumaya, let's start it off. What is the definition of impulsivity?
Yes, Ijaz, that's, you know, it's very important to understand what impulsivity is, because impulsiveness is something that we all engage in at some point or the other. Mm. And there is no better way to bring it to light than understanding what it means. So, you know, if someone is impulsive, it means that they act on instinct, you know, without thinking decisions through. And it's the tendency to act or speak based on current feelings rather than logical reasoning. So, you know, I spoke now about instinct as well as impulsiveness. So just to make the distinction between the two so that people don't get confused, you know, I'd like to say that the difference between impulse and instinct is that impulse is a sudden urge to act on something now. You know, that is almost like, you know, an impulsive thing. I need to do it right now. Mm-hmm. And instinct is a natural or intuitive way of acting or thinking. You know, it comes to you naturally. It's just something that's built in. You know, you feel it in your gut when you need to do something. And impulse, on the other hand, is you making a decision in a moment to do something just because you want to and just because you can. Right? Mm-hmm. So today I'd like to share with the listeners something called pause. You know, that's the pause button that we all possess. Between impulse and action, there's a pause button. That's something that, you know, people should really truly get this. Mm-hmm. That you have that pause button, so use it, because you own the skill to pause. So just make good use of it. And, you know, Ijaz, yesterday while I was doing all of this preparing, I was looking at the word pause, and I came up with an acronym.
Okay.
You know, where I use pause as an acronym, because pause is something, you know, which is patience and understanding serves everyone.
Hmm, that's a nice one.
Right? So it's almost like, you know, when you're in the heat of a moment, you know, when being impulsive seems like the only choice, remember to simply pause. Because it's going to be serving everyone, not just you, but everyone that is included in that, right? Mm-hmm. Going from impulse to action may just create a negative reaction. Because I'm sure so many times we have noticed that in the heat of an argument, sometimes we feel that being impulsive, because I need to say something and I need to say it now so the other person gets the point. Mm-hmm. And how many times has that backfired on us, right? Mm-hmm. So in that moment, just create that pause. Just hit the pause button. Take a breather and then come back when you are calmer and in a more rational state of mind. And one more thing that I found very interesting, Ijaz, mm-hmm. is that impulsivity can get exaggerated by caffeine and tends to be more noticeable in the evening than in the morning. So to all those people who consider themselves as highly impulsive beings, you know, just become more aware. Are you more sort of impulsive after drinking tea or coffee or a Red Bull? Are you more impulsive in the evening than in the morning? You know, it's just when you get information and you become more aware of it, only then can you change something. So it's just an interesting fact that I thought, you know, I put out there for the listeners.
Nice one. Now, Sumaya, what are the two types of impulsivity?
Yes, this is an interesting question, Ijaz, because one is the functional impulsivity, and this means it's a good kind of impulsive, right? Because impulsive is not bad all the time.
Mm.
And the good kind of impulsive actually means that one can quickly take advantage of unexpected opportunity. They can very quickly put their thoughts into words. It's, you know, almost like they're very quick at thinking. You know, they're fast thinkers. They think on their feet. And they sort of come across as very mentally agile. And basically, this kind of functional impulse is an asset at times. And if you're listening to this, you know, listeners that are listening to this and are going, yes, that's exactly me. You know, remember, you can be lethal as well. Because you need someone to curb your enthusiasms every so often. You know, you need to consider consequences. Generally, a person that is impulsive doesn't really go into that full-on thought process of, you know, considering what are the consequences to me, to the people that are involved in this, and how will things pan out. They don't generally do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of positive impulsivity, I find this kind of, you know, impulsive action works very well in relationships, right? Mm. And I'll tell you exactly why. Because especially when all the juice of a marriage is drained, you know, completely from that marriage, impulsivity can add sparkle to married life, right? Because just think about it, Ijaz. You know, it's midweek, probably a Wednesday evening, and a husband is driving home, and, you know, he passes, you know, you get, when you sort of stop at robots, you do find sometimes these people selling bunches of flowers. He hasn't thought about that before he left work, but, you know, the moment he saw it, on an impulse, that whim came to him, and he thought, okay, let me buy something for my wife.
Right.
You know, she'd be happy with that. So that's an impulsive action, which is on a positive note. Or probably he drove past, you know, a florist, and he decided, okay, I need to take a U-turn because I need to get something for my wife. It was an impulsive action, and he comes home, and the results are that it's positive because it makes her happy. Right? Another kind of example of a positive impulsive action would be that, you know, ladies, instead of going out all the time on the weekend to go out and eat, maybe on a Sunday, do something crazy and impulsive. You know, get up in the morning probably and decide to cook a home-cooked meal. You know, you'd be surprised. Your husband would actually appreciate that. And it's not something that you have to sleep on. You don't need to come up with the full-on thought process that I need to do this. It's a spur of the moment thing. You just go ahead and you do it. Right? So that's the one kind of positivity into impulsive action. And then now we move into the dysfunctional impulsive. This is an accident waiting to happen. Right? So these are the kind of people who really need to bite their tongues, so that it protects them from speaking, because they tend to say whatever comes into their heads without thinking first, right? They generally tend to make appointments without checking if they can honor them. They buy things without considering if they can afford them. And they just jump right into action without considering difficulties or pros and cons. And one thing about them is that they don't like careful reasoning. So if we look at it right now, these are the kind of people who need to train themselves to use the pause button. Because most of us have moderate impulsivity. So it's not an all or nothing case, right? Many times we feel an impulse coming on to say or do something. And if we're not sure how it will pan out, just stop. Remember that you need to pause, because patience and understanding serves everyone. Then come back and just be in a better state of mind and address what needs addressing.
Yes, and I'm just going to pause you there. There's a tweet that just come in from Sister Fatima Mullah. She says, the one and only thing I buy without cost is ice cream, and I can eat up to 2 sticks at the time, or 4 to 5 scoops. And she's put a picture here. It says, you can't buy happiness, but you can buy ice cream. And that's kind of the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. That is, you know, something that's making her happy. So it's a positive impulsive action, and it's, you know, reaping positive rewards from there. So that's, we go back to, you know what, impulsivity is not all bad.
All right. Now, how will one know when they're on the border of this highly impulsive scale?
Okay, first thing is, when others speak, interjection is a mark of impulsive action. Right? This is very important to note. So stop and listen. Then listen more. And then listen a little more, then speak. Right? An impulsive person often does things without thinking. They're not really serious-minded. They usually make up their minds very, very quickly about anything. You know, anything that comes their way, they just make up their minds very quickly, whether they want to do it or they don't. And like we said earlier on, they can put their thoughts into words very quickly as well. But they also get very impatient waiting. And they don't like and are not good at business planning. And these are the kind of people that are definitely not the type to sleep on things before making or taking a decision, right? And again, I'd like to add that impulsivity is not always a bad thing, right? An example of this would be, just imagine, Ijaz, you're going on a hike, right? And you see a trail that you've never been on before. But this impulsive action, you know, this impulsive need, and this whim comes up and you want to go ahead and, you know, go and be adventurous and see what is there. So you actually go on, because this could be something that brings you absolutely amazing memories you could create from there, right? So this kind of impulsivity is not necessarily a problem, because it's bringing you fun and happiness. The only time impulsivity becomes a problem is when it controls your actions beyond logic or happiness, right? Or causes you some kind of distress.
Hmm.
And it's also a condition that can both cause anxiety and be a symptom of anxiety, right? That's basically what it is. So, you know, in just basically when we come back to, you know, using that pause button, just to know that during situations that are really stressful, break away from the issue at hand. Just use your pause button to create that break, right? Take a walk, have a cup of tea, you know, just take a breather, chill out. That's what you need to do. So by doing this, you're basically using two strategies at once. The first one is a positive impulsive action, which is the functional impulsiveness we spoke about. And the second is you are using your pause button to create a pause break. Does that make any sense?
It does indeed.
Okay. So, you know, just one more thing I'd like to add, Ijaz, that positive impulses that create excitement and a sense of bonding that won't hurt you or others is actually a good thing. You know, you come home, you know, probably on a Friday, and on the spur of the moment you decide, let's just go and spend the weekend somewhere, right? So you go with your family, and from that you created so much of happiness, so many happy memories.
Those
bonding.
Are usually the best ones, the ones that are impulsive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because those are spur of the moment, but it has a positive, happy ending to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at it, a negative impulse looks like you have an urge for thrill, and on a whim you speed down a busy intersection, causing an accident. Mm. So that is basically a negative impulse because you're not taking any pros or cons into consideration. So just learn to use your pause button. You know, become more in tune with positive impulses that give you joy and negative impulses that bring destruction. That's basically, you know, how I would put it.
We've got 30 seconds or so, Sumaya. How do we implement the pause button today?
You know how, like sort of in conclusion, you know, I just like to add that using amazing benefits of impulsive action, you know, once we become very clear on what is impulsive action that is good and what is the negative part of being impulsive, you know, once we make the distinction between that, Ijaz, to bring that pause button in is very, very easy. Because we know the moment I'm, you know, on impulse, but it's going to be negative, I just hit that pause button. It's just simple. Just use a visual technique, you know, just press that pause button. That's it.
Finish and claw.
Exactly.
Jazakallah khair, Sumaya, for all the expertise. Very, very interesting, you know, being part of this discussion and listening to all of this and hoping that the listeners themselves have benefited from it. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Jazakallah so much, and same to you, Ijaz.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And that was Life Coach Sumaya Kuvadia talking to us about impulsivity. And yes, indeed, it's very interesting. You know, there's a good and bad to every single situation. And impulsivity is no different. So, if you've got any questions that you wanted to answer on, you know the interactive mediums. You can, you know, connect with us on 48855, WhatsApp 0727861548, Twitter at EJAZ_K. We've come to the end of the program, Mind, Body and Chow. The podcast will be available, inshallah, in a few minutes' time. So, from us here.
Assalamu alaikum. Sabilu dumu'i sabilu mari'h. Tana hadaya sahi kay tastari'h. سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح تنا هدايا صاحي كي تستريح وبوس الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح تنا هدايا صاحي كي تستريح وبوس الدعاء الخفي الصريح يا يسعك الفضاء الرحيب الفسيح فبالله كم تستطب القروح ويبرأ جروح الكسير الجريح وينشط ذاك السقيم العليم وقد كان بالسقم دهرا طريق تقال العثار العظام به ويعود الهوى ككبش ذبيح بذكر الله